May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, how are we all doing this morning? It is a glorious morning, and welcome to the Chapel of Transfiguration and to this sacred ground. I wanted to start our sermon off this morning by bringing up the words of a very famous and known prophet. Prophet might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think you'll know what I'm getting at by the time we're done. The songwriter and country western singer Garth Brooks once in the 90s wrote a song called The Dance. And this song, if you know it well, I'll share a little bit of the words with it in just a moment, but it was one of those songs, especially in late middle school and early high school. It got unpopular after a long list of playing, but when you went to a middle school or high school dance in West Texas, where I grew up, this is the song that when they played it, you knew there was no song after it. And if you had been eyeballing that special someone to dance with, that was your last cue. You better go ask them or you're going to miss your chance. And so that would be the backdrop to all of these dances, hence the title of that song that Garth wrote, The Dance. And it started like this: looking back on the memories of the dance we shared beneath the stars above. For a moment, all the world was right, but how did I ever know that we would have to say goodbye? And it goes on from there, but ironically, I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old that are out here with us in July, named Jackson and Gabriel, and we were out on our deck at the town home where we are staying, right along Flat Creek in town, and we brought the boys are enthralled with music these days. And we brought some harmonicas, and we were playing those, and I found myself, that song being naturally nostalgic and just ingrained in me that Garth Brooks wrote, I was playing it on the harmonica. And I noticed within my voice that natural just rhythm started, thanks to the Bickners that are here, both of my boys are now dressed like cowboys, and they were in their cowboy gear, and the oldest one, to the Garth Brooks song, started, his little knee stomping, but the youngest one, at 1 year old, I was just amazed by his reaction. He hears this song, and then Ashley might have sung it a little bit, and he just starts swaying. And I'm just like, look at that. He's 1 year old, hasn't heard much music yet, and there's this natural rhythm of life. As he hears this song about dancing and he gets music, he just starts swaying back and forth. And it reminded me of the rhythms of all of our lives. Of course, bringing up dancing and the rhythms of life are going to be our backbone for the rest of the sermon. So I want to keep those compartmentally right here. But what I want to present to you, as we are going to be talking and walking through some of the main points of Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we heard today, is that God created humanity to dance. And we're going to talk about exactly what that means, but I thought the stories of both Garth and his song, and especially how my son, the youngest one, reacted to it, bringing about those rhythms of life. There are those natural things, this view and this sacred ground being one of them, where our hearts just feel at home, where our souls are at rest. But then there are rhythms of life which are deep and ingrained, which are not so easy to swallow, which are some of the dark sides of being human. We all know too well about division. Division is something that humanity just does. It is something we are not proud of, but we all too easily, we probably all walked in here this morning or even this week recognizing a form of division that has come into our lives. It works its way into our families. Divorce, fights, people not talking to each other for several years. And you can throw in all the isms. white, black, racisms, all the different forms of isms, oppression, and hatred, which we can find in this world that we, as human beings, can do to one another at the hands of each other. We can be rotten to one another. We can do despicable things. So these are the rhythms of life, the things of blessing and joy and salvation. And then the other part of humanity, we see these divisions, which cause great harm and great strife. Paul, this morning, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, is tackling this topic of division. And he is saying the ultimate goal within the kingdom of God is to bring division and hatred and sin to an end. In other words, to reconcile and redeem the entire world to God, being that all people would come together, laying our silliness down at the feet of the cross, and that we would all praise God as one new humanity. Not the old, broken, divided humanity, but one new, united humanity in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the main purpose that Paul is writing about in the section of the letter that we have today. And he uses as the example one of the greatest coming togethers in the history of the Bible. And that is the Jews and the Gentiles. Two groups that naturally hated one another. The Jews, over on this side, they were the promised, the chosen people of God that God would use at one point in history to reconcile the world to Him. A people group called the chosen that were given a great gift called the law. Now, the law was just like a learning to dance with God. Ultimately, as I opened up with, God wanted all of humanity to dance. This is what the law was for the Jewish people. The Jewish people for God would be His dance partner. And God would teach them the dance steps of the right God to serve and how to live a life that would please God. They were gifted. What a great privilege the Jewish people had and still have. But what we see today, and as we track through the rest of biblical history, what Paul is pointing out is that there is a problem. In this world, division among all kinds of other things, that this world is a broken place. And we in our own try as hard as we can to fix those problems. The main one we have today being division. We try everything in our power to say, I know this is wrong and I should fix it somehow. And there are some things that work by our own means. But it seems like division is so ingrained into society, into culture, that we realize we need something bigger to help us out. This is what Paul is tackling in his language in this letter to the Ephesians, saying you need something else. You need a Savior. You need me to help tackle that great division. So we go back to the Jews and the Gentiles and how we hear Paul writing that through Christ, through His life, through His teachings, through His death, and through His resurrection, that would be the breaking point that would break down the wall of hostility and division, that would bring the chosen Jews and everyone else on the outside. We hear those of you that are near and those of you that are far away are brought together in one recognized new humanity. May all the old divisions fall and go away through the foundation, as we hear Paul close out the text we had today, through the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, the saints that have gone before all of us, to the people he was writing to in that time, and universally to us today. We are told that we are justified when Jesus died and rose again. we were justified and wiped clean of all of our sins, past, present, and future. But we continue on our faith journey to be sanctified. And we are at this middle time where we live now and when we realize the fullness of this purpose that God is writing, that Paul is writing about, one united humanity. So you can see we have a way to go. Politically, we divide. Sexually, we divide. And we have all at the hands of someone else, or we have been the hands that have done it, seen abuse. We have seen bullying. All kinds of different ways that division and pain happen in this world. But what Paul, he gives us a great hope of the gospel message this morning. All of that is going to fall away. And that is our great hope and comfort, that we are promised the Holy Spirit as followers of His. It is not by mistake that you come here to find solace at the feet of the Tetons and at the sacred ground of the Chapel of Transfiguration. It's easy to naturally think that you come here and that the Holy Spirit stays here in these holy, sacred mountaintop places. But what we are told is that we are living sanctuaries. The Holy Spirit, yes, dwells here, but also dwells in you. And you take it back to Jackson, Wyoming, or this area, or where you traveled here from. And yes, deeply ingrained in the culture are those ways that we divide. But Paul tells us, not on your own, but because of what Jesus has done for us, you have the power to teach the world to dance once again. The church today has a lot of work to do. We have to step into those divisions. And backed by the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we first look inward and we ask ourselves some tough questions. Where I come from, where does healing the divides need to begin? Or where has that work already begun that I can step into? Where do I need to change myself? And then after that, partnering and realizing when you try to do it in your own power, it may not succeed. But remember what Paul is telling us this morning. You have the new identity. I mentioned that law that was given to the Jewish people. There's an amazing thing that happens. Everything that was granted to the chosen, now that we as Gentiles have been brought close in that little step forward, bit by bit, of the one recognized, united humanity, the law and everything that comes with it is now ours. We live that way, and by the grace of God, we have the power to be what Jimmy Bartz brought to Jackson Hole as love-spreading difference makers. We have that, and we can do that. And I've seen it as I got to live in this valley, was privileged to live here for 10 years. St. John, the work of Reverend Ken Azel, the guys that came before him, and the men and women, and then where I am now in Florida, we hear Paul's writing. It's a motivational, get right. Realize how much division is in this world, and yet the power of the Holy Spirit, you can step in and you can be the agents of change backed by the cross and resurrection of Christ. What an amazing thing we ponder this morning. Our responsibility as carrying the Holy Spirit into the world. And we ask Jesus, let us not forget to dance. Teach us once again to dance with you and with everyone around us. Those we naturally think alike with, and especially those that we have division with. May that recognized taste of heaven, let's keep working for it, and may it be our hope, carrying us into the future. All praise and honor to the God who made it possible for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.